do your best to come to me soon. For Damas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, these words that we hear today are hard words. The words that we proclaimed as gospel, good news, don't sound like good news. But yet they're a warning of the world, the present world, the noon eon, the present day that we live in, that there will be people who disappoint us. There will be people with whom we share our lives, with whom we share our time, our talents, our treasures. There will be people to whom we give much who will desert us. And Lord, you understood this. You can relate to this. You're going to be going to the cross, and there you will be alone. As you write this passage, as you declare this to your disciples in Luke, you're preparing to go to that cross and be there alone, everyone deserting you. And yet, Lord, we're told that no matter what, we labor not in vain, but there are benefits to what we do. And St. Paul, at the end of his life in 65 AD, as he writes from the prison in Rome, as he is being preparing to leave this world, he writes to young Pastor Timothy and he declares to him that it was not in vain. That Luke is still with him. That he should bring Mark and come to him. That no matter what, you are able to bring victory for people, the people of God. Lord, help us this day, we pray, as we hear these words, to understand the risks and benefits of pouring our lives into people. The risks are great, but the benefits are out of this world. The benefits are that heavenly kingdom. The benefits are spending eternity with you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had read a portion of scripture and it ends and you think, this is supposed to be good news? When I read the gospel lesson that's been picked for us and been passed down for well over 500 years, I looked at that text and I thought, man, what a place to end. I will bring, what? Disagreement, Jesus says. I'm not bringing peace. There will be two in a family against three and three against two. There will be father-in-law against, or mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and sons and against their father. I mean, it is not a pleasant gospel, good news. It's not. But I think the reason why it is good news for us is as we look at the letter of St. Paul to young Pastor Timothy, the second of his letters, and the last one, according to chronology, the last one of his letters, as he's sitting imprisoned in Rome, he writes this to his pastor, to the one that Paul talked about last time as the one who is mentoring, you know, young Pastor Timothy. He writes to him, and he encourages him, but he tells him the truth. And the truth that he tells him is that people will disappoint us. Right? People in our family will disappoint us. People in the world will disappoint us. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we work, people will disappoint us. That's a hard word to hear, isn't it? How many of us are optimists? I'm guilty. You know, I just have this belief that if we just work harder, if we just do more, if we just do the right thing, that we'll get a certain result. This is hard to imagine for my kids because I'm not much of a math or a scientist, but I liked two things. I liked physics and algebra because they had formula. And if you put the right formula in, you get the right answer, right? And if you had to take those courses in school? You put the right formula, you put the right stuff in, you get the right answer. And so I like things that work like that. I do. I like it when you put the right stuff in, you should get the right stuff out. There's one of the benefits of science, that you can do that. But when you're working with people and you're working in relationships and in my last church, as things were getting harder and harder and people were getting more and more disobedient, I kept thinking, if I just work harder, if I just spend more time, if I just pray harder, if I just pour my life into more people and do more, that things would change. It was the first time in my life where I honestly thought about the fact that I would rather go and work at McDonald's. Seriously. I thought, maybe they need a manager. Been there, done that, I could do that. I mean, it was, I worked so hard. I put my family through terrible situations. So I thought, if I just worked harder, if I just did more, if I just poured my life into more people, that eventually things would change. Because I was working with a formula. And I didn't want to read this passage of Scripture. I didn't want to hear St. Paul, who I admire as one of the greatest mentors. I did not want to hear his story. Because in his story, in his last chapter of the last letter that he writes from prison, he tells young Pastor Timothy that people are going to disappoint you. He says in his trial that not one person stood up for him. Not one. Similar to Jesus, right? Everyone deserted him. He uses that word desert. That's a word that in Scripture is full. It's a full word. When you see it, you can feel the agony of the person that's writing it. When Jesus uses it, and when Paul uses it, you can feel the agony and the pain in that word. At least I can. When I run across, I can feel the pain and agony, because have you ever been abandoned? You ever been deserted in your time of need? I always love it, I believe in the power of prayer, and I think that if there's one thing we don't do enough of, it's pray. On this side of heaven, I think the power of prayer is so important, prayer and fasting, and yet I have to confess that I don't do enough of it. But it was in some of my darkest moments. What hurt me the most was when I go to Christian people and I'm looking for encouragement, I'm looking for that mentoring. Gene was mentioning today, a mentoring could be as simple as at a tough time in someone's life, just being there with words of encouragement. And I please take this in the right spirit. And all people would say to me is, I'll pray for you. Now, that is important and that is powerful, but I needed more. I needed them to say, I'm here with you. I'll walk this with you. Instead, I'll pray for you. It sounded like, okay, Pastor, leave me alone. I'll pray for you. I'll put you on my prayer list. And I know I do that to people too. And I think that that's why mentoring is so important to me, because it's those people that say, I'll pray for you, but I'm here for you. If you need something, call me. If you need to talk, call me. I mean, you don't know, when you're being abandoned, when you're being deserted by people, that means so much. And, you can work so hard and you can prepare and you can do all the right stuff. And yet when it comes down to the race, people can disappoint you. I have a YouTube video I'd like you to watch. How many of you remember those? That Beijing. And I, even though I like to cheer for Canada and the U.S. because I got one foot in each, when it comes to the Summer Olympics, Canada doesn't even, it's just a blip. It doesn't even show up. The Winter Olympics, well, that's a different story. But so I'm a U.S. fan during the Summer Olympics. And I thought for sure would, in Beijing, that the men's 4x100 was going to, or was it, for, or whatever it's called, the relay there. I was sure that they were going to not only exceed the world's record, but they were going to clean up. And they dropped the baton. And the women's, I mean, these were the best athletes we've ever had. They should have cleaned everybody's clock, right? They should have come home with a world record and everything, and they dropped the baton. And when we work as a team and we're working as a body, it'd be easy for us to say, I don't want to mentor someone. I don't want to be mentored by someone. I don't want to open my heart. I don't want to open my life to someone because what happens if they disappoint me? What happens if they're like Demas who deserted Paul and went back to Thessalonica in Macedonia? You know, it's so interesting because Paul talks about Demas as a fellow worker for the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians and Philemon. He talks about him as one who is in the work with him together in a very powerful way. And yet, at the end, in the race, he drops the baton. He deserts him. And he goes back. And the reason I picked the women's team is because, did you see Lauren there? What did she do? After the baton is dropped, picks it up. And even though she knows that it's over, what did she do? She finished the race. She finished the race. Could they have just all stopped and said, what? They could have taken it out on the one who dropped the baton. Couldn't they have? Would they have been justified? I mean, you know how many hours go into preparing for this thing? Just think about the coach. The coach has spent hours trying to find the right people to put together a team of four, the best people in the world to win the gold, and all of a sudden representing 300 and some million people in the United States of America, on TV no less, in the moment, in the present, you drop the baton. But on the women's team, it was amazing because they supported one another. They finished the race. They encouraged one another, even in the midst of a terrible disappointment. Brothers and sisters, the strength of mentoring is that when we build ourselves up as a team, when we are obedient to Christ's instruction to go out in twos, not by ourselves, but in twos, when we spend the time with one another, when we build into one another's lives, we will be able to finish the race. Even with the greatest disappointment, we'll be able to finish the race. Because isn't that what St. Paul said to young Pastor Timothy? Finish the race. Keep your eye on the prize. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. When people disappoint you, pray for them. That's when you can pray for them. Pray for them. Forgive them. Move on. Move on. Finish the race. That's the good news. He says we're going to be disappointed. He says we're going to have struggles. He says there's going to be division. He says, Jesus said, we're going to have those things in this world. But that should not stop us from pouring our lives into others, from being mentored by others. Because the Lord Jesus Christ promises that no matter what happens, we can finish the race. If they were not a team, Lauren wouldn't have picked up the baton and finished the race. If they were not a team working together, it would have ended when it was obvious the race was lost. The relay was finished. It would have just ended. How many of us have done that? I'm going to be honest with you. I have pulled myself away from people. I have removed myself from situations because I didn't want to get hurt. When I was scared I might get hurt, I pulled back. I don't know if you've had that situation, but it's easy to do. And my justification for pulling back was, well, I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I put my heart out there and someone stomped on it. I poured my life into someone's life and they wasted it. And I can easily justify it, can't you? Don't we all have people in our lives that disappoint us? Don't we all have people in our lives that have hurt us? No? You're so much better than I am. I don't know why I'm sitting. I know why I'm sitting up here, because the worst of us has to be up here. I always love the Lord. He's always got these things like the least shall be the greatest, you know, and I want to just encourage you so much to prayerfully consider who the Lord is putting on your heart to either mentor you or for you to mentor. For you to either receive from them and also be a blessing to them. The prayer team was praying this morning and Joe told me that they had a word that I thought was really important. And I think I need to work on this myself. Is when someone has encouraged you, when someone has mentored you, it's important that you encourage them by letting them know, being thankful, sharing with them when they have been a blessing to you. Isn't that what you guys sensed this morning? That's one way that we can encourage mentorship, is that we can let people know. It may not have been a huge thing. It may simply have been a discussion after church or during the week when someone has been called, or it doesn't have to be a lifelong mentorship. It doesn't have to be even a month-long mentorship. It can be simple things. And if we just acknowledge that and encourage people, then they would be more comfortable doing it again. So I want to encourage you. We got a retreat coming up this September, and it's for everyone. And it's to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's to find the power that we're promised as kingdom people, that we're promised we have the authority to speak in Jesus' name and the power to live as His people in this world, which will be full of disappointments. We have the power to live as His people, and we want to grow into the blessing, the fruits, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? We want to grow stronger in our ability to live as God's people and to be encouragers and to be that body of Christ, that family of God, the people of God, chosen, holy, royal, the people belonging to God. We are called. We are chosen. We have His name on us. And we walk in obedience because of who we are. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It's finished," He meant it. He desperately wants us to be forgiven. But I think sometimes we stop there, don't you? I think we're just happy to know we're going to heaven. We got a mansion. We got it. It's the gift of eternal life. We have it. And I'm convinced more and more, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I'm convinced more and more that the Lord is not just wanting us to be satisfied with knowing that we're going to heaven. But I believe more and more that He wants us to live heaven on earth. What I mean by that is He wants us to live sanctified lives. He wants us to grow closer to Him. He wants to become more like Him. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us. He wants to manifest His gifts within us. And He wants us to see the victory that we have, no matter what the results. You know what I mean by that? That's a hard one, right? That's what I mean by that. So many times in our society today, we think of things based on results. For example, the reason why David was victorious when he took on Goliath, remember the story, David and Goliath? The reason he was victorious, according to the world that we live in today, this present world, this noon eon, which is the word for present world Damas is, St. Paul says Damas is in love with this present world, the now. He's in love with the now, and he's in love with the world, and that's why he's deserted or abandoned him. In this present world, we are so infatuated, for lack of a better term, with results, with numbers. And I think we should, numbers matter to God, right? Because he cares how many people are going to heaven, right? Numbers matter to him, but I think that sometimes we let these abandonment things happen, these deserting things happen, this disappointment happen, because we're so fixated on the result. And yet what the Lord is telling me, and what I went to the Holy Spirit seminar last week. Did you know that? I don't know if I let that many people know, because I don't know. I was kind of concerned about putting it on Facebook because I didn't want to get in trouble with some of the other pastors that are around. And so I went to the Holy Spirit conference in Minneapolis, and Chuck Fenton and I were sitting in on one of the guy named Rick Joyner. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He has Morningstar Ministries. He's a prophet. Prophets are really hard to listen to. I'm one, so I understand if some of you go, man, these are complicated. Because prophets, they go from one point to another point to another point, and they hope at the end it's not pointless. But I have to tell you, he had a powerful message. And we're sitting there, and Chuck Fenton, and we're in this place, and unlike here where the lights are shining on me and I get all hot and sweaty because, you know, I'm under the lights. Well, there I was at the back of the church. Like, we were in the overflow seating because we went to dinner, and so we were late. You know, what I mean by late is that place filled up so fast that even though it started at 7, if you weren't there at 6:30, you didn't get in. Well, I thought we were doing good because we got there right at 6:30, and we had to sit in the back row. And everybody, and Chuck wanted to put his long legs out there as he was sitting down, and people were tripping over because it was the walkway. And we're in there, and it's really hot. I mean, it was boiling as far as I was concerned. And Chuck is there, and he's saying to me, I got goosebumps. And I took him and I said, it isn't because of the air conditioning, let me tell you. And what was so interesting was he talked about this, and he said, you know, our problem is that we look at results, and we look at it from a worldly perspective, but the way that the story of David and Goliath is, it isn't the fact that Goliath came tumbling down that is the victory. The victory happened when David took the armor off and picked up the rocks. That's when the victory happened. That was when the faith that talks about in Hebrews chapter 13, the faith that, you know, is not what the world thinks it is. It's not the result of Goliath falling down. It's when he was willing to take those rocks and believe that his God was able to do what the world said could never happen. I mean, it gave me goosebumps. Because how many of us reading the story think the victory is when Goliath comes crushing down? Me. Because we all got Goliaths in our life, right? And we want to see them come crumbling down, just like the walls of Jericho. We want to see them come crumbling down. And he says, that's not the miracle. That's not the faith. The faith, the victory happens when he picks up the rocks. Isn't that awesome? Goliath would have come down either way. Goliath was coming down because God said he was coming down, right? So Goliath was coming down. The faith was when David took off the armor, Saul's armor, remember, the king's armor? And grab the rocks. Because right then he said, my God is able. My God can do what looks impossible. My God is way bigger than Goliath. I don't know about you, but I was sitting there going, wow. See, brothers and sisters, what God is looking for today is people of faith that believe our God is so big that even if people disappoint us, it's not a waste of time to pour into their lives. Even those relationships where, I mean, I'm a pastor. You don't know how many times I've run up to people in Walmart or, you know, it was really easy in the town I was in before to run into people who came to the church, got married. I spent lots of time with them, mentored them, poured my life into them, and then they would tell me, well, we're attending this other church because your church was too Catholic, or your church was too this, or your church was too that. And as soon as they say your church, my stomach would just start to turn inside out. Because when I married them and they were going through adult instruction class and everything, they were calling it our church. And as soon as they say your church, my stomach just started to turn into knots. And I'll tell you, it took me a day or two to get over that. And it happened a lot because when you're doing the things you're supposed to do, what does Jesus say is going to happen? There's going to be what? Pardon me? Conflict. There's going to be a lack of peace, folks. If you're doing the right stuff and you're really doing what the Lord wants you to do, it's not always going to be easy. It's like the victory is in doing the right stuff, not the results. Are we willing to be obedient? Are we really willing, really truly willing to say, I'm going to do the Lord's will no matter what? Are we willing to say, okay, if someone abandons us, we're not going to let that get us so down that we're not willing to walk anymore? To do what we're supposed to do? To pour our lives into people? Brothers and sisters, that's the victory. The victory isn't when Goliath comes tumbling down. The victory is when we take up the rocks. We take those stones and we say, our God is so big. Joe was reminding me yesterday that it's important just to plant the seeds, that someone else will reap the harvest. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to plant those seeds in people's lives, even if we're not the ones to reap the harvest? I am. I'm willing. So that's what it means when we talk about risks and benefits of mentoring. You may do something and someone may abandon you and you may go, why did I waste my time? But trust me, brothers and sisters, it's never a waste of time. We don't know the end of the story. We don't know what happened with Demas. As a matter of fact, we know from history that the church in Thessalonica was a booming church. They did amazing things in the body of Christ. Could it be that even though he deserted Paul at this time, that his ministry was effective because he recognized what he did and he did use what Paul had poured into him? Think about the fact that Demas and Luke are always mentioned together. And Luke, without Luke, we wouldn't have the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Think about it. We can do the small things. Faith and victory start when we pick up the stones, not when the giant comes tumbling down. Are you ready? Are you willing? Because our God is able. He's able. And he wants to show us how, no matter whether we're planting the seed or we're reaping the harvest, we are called to be faithful.